Just Talk With Sam podcast, y'all. Just Talk With Sam podcast. Just put your name on it. You don't talk about it. Be about it.
I don't know this till like right now. Seriously.
Tune, y'all.
But it's obvious, if y'all is listening, we never write this out.
Hey, what's up? What's up? It's your man Sam, host of Just Talk With Sam podcast. Just Talk With Sam podcast. Man, we got a good one. A great one. One that should. I'm glad it happened, man. I'm just ridiculously glad it's happened. I got a chance to sit down with Dakota Starr of New Day Revolution. You're like, who's New Day Revolution? For starters, you ought to be ashamed of yourself if you don't know who New Day Revolution is. But I get it. They always get new people. We always get new people. So this is a great show for you to check into who is New Day Revolution. They are a high octane band in Detroit. I have seen these guys live. It's worth checking these guys out. And Dakota, my guest, may be one of the more charismatic front men that I've seen in this city in quite some time. I mean, it's worth the show. Hell, you could tell me in a few minutes. When I sit down and talk with Dakota Starr, man, we talk about a lot of things. We talk about the past. We talk about some of the past projects he's done. But one thing I would love to talk about is the new EP. We're going to play some songs off of it. There is an EP release party at the Rockery, December 5th, Wyandotte, Michigan. $5 cover. Get in there. Just go. Each ticket gets you the free EP. We'll get into all of this in the podcast, but we got to pay some bills around here. Look, I want to thank all the people who have supported the podcast. Please go to samshownation.com on the homepage, your current promotions page. Hit the donate button. This has always been a crowdsourced podcast, so if you want to give and make the podcast a bigger, badder beast of a podcast, an animal, and just make us do a lot of stuff, this is always from donations from you, very, very good people. So please go to samshownation.com. Hit the donate button on the homepage, your current promotions page. It's a PayPal. It goes right to us. We don't spend a dime outside of the show. And give whatever makes you feel like a good person. If you want a little bang for your buck, you want a little merch, want a little I gave to the show, but you want like a little receipt, you can always go to samshownation.com. Click the store button and get your favorite t-shirts. You can get stickers, or the iTunes app, a free iTunes app. For all my Apple people out there, you can go ahead, get the iTunes app. You are first in line for any new podcast, some behind the scenes stuff, whatever you could do. You could be amongst the community. You can subscribe, rate, and review your favorite podcast. You can do it right from the iTunes app, from whatever Apple device you have. But you're like, Sam, I don't get down with Apple like that. We got you covered. Go to samshownation.com. Click that podcast link, and we got you covered. However you listen to podcasts, whether that be Stitcher for my Android and Windows folks, whether that be TuneIn for my Android, Windows, and Apple folks, whether that be old school RSS for the four people who still have Blackberries, or you can listen to podcasts right there on the page at samshownation.com. Just click the podcast link. Like I said, we got a few sponsors today, and we're going to get into that, and we're going to play some songs from New Day Revolution. We're going to talk to the man himself, Dakota Starr. First sponsor is the good folks at Mangrate. grill like a pro with Man Great cast iron grilling grates. Look, Man Great knows it's fall. It's time to give those Man Greats a good grill, a good cleaning. You got to do it. We stay in the Midwest. You only got a few more days to tailgate before you got to pack it up. So Man Great is giving you a chance. They've hunted for a portable solution that's easy to store your Man Greats somewhere other than your grill all winter. And what they have is great for tailgating. It's great for camping. They have a heavy-duty bag and brush special. Their new heavy-duty bag comes with multiple pockets, grilling tools, bottle opener, sauces, spices, and a man compartment easily accommodates up to four Man Greats. What's a Man Great, you ask? Man Great is cast iron grilling grates to give you the greatest steakhouse quality steak right there in your own backyard. You can mobilize this with the Great Fall Bundle. All you got to do is go to samshownation.com under the current promotions page. Click the Man Great link and you can grill like a pro. This package that normally retails for $79.99 separately, but with the Sam Show Nation special, you can get it for $49.99. All you got to do is put in the offer code JTWS at checkout. That offer code is JTWS. And you can get a rugged bag with handles on the top, padded shoulder strap. Great for the grill master on the go. So go ahead, get the heavy duty bag and brush special from the good folks at Man Great. Please put in the offer code JTWS for your discount. Next sponsor is the good folks at Adidas. You got it, Adidas. Adidas knows it's almost holiday season, and they want to kick in the door a little bit early. So if you go to samshownation.com, click that Adidas link, you can get 30% off tracksuits, outerwear, accessories, and jackets. Fleece, whatever. And fleeces. You know, hey, they want to keep you warm, but they want to keep you geared. This offer code is good. Excuse me. This offer is good until the 24th of November. And no offer code required. All you got to do is go to samshownation.com, click that Adidas link, and right there, automatically, 30% off, select fleece, select accessories, select outerwear, and select jackets. All we ask you to do is go to samshownation.com, click that link, and you can get an early start to your holiday shopping from the good folks at Adidas.com. Not to be outdone, good folks at Reebok would also like you to stay warm this winter, but they also want you to go through samshownation.com. So go to samshownation.com, click that promotion, the current promotions page, click that Reebok link, and you can, it's two offers, sorry, I misread this. It's cold outside, they want to wrap you up, they want you to be warm, and this first offer is buy one, get one free hoodies from the good folks at Adidas. All you got to do, if you buy a hoodie, you want another one free, put in the offer code STAY WARM. That is STAYWARM. Stay warm, all one word, at checkout. So go ahead, buy one, get one free hoodies. Hey, and if that wasn't sweet enough for you, they got two offers. The second offer is a generous mix and match deal that will save you up to 50% off any footwear and apparel whenever you use the offer code make it two, the MAKEIT and the number two, make it two at checkout. Just buy one get one free hoodies and up to 50% off whatever footwear and apparel you need from Reebok.com. Only thing you got to do to activate this deal, use your selective offer code, go to SamShowNation.com, click the Reebok link, and shop as you normally would. Wow, it's quite a few this week. I got two more. Here we go. That also, proud sponsor of the show, the good folks at Walmart. Walmart would like to remind you of their daily saving center. They're giving you the hottest offers for today. The only thing you got to do, no offer code needed, go to SamShowNation.com or the current promotions page. Click the Walmart link in the upper left-hand area where it says Daily Saving Centers, and you can be first in line for whatever deals that Walmart is kicking. Let's face it, you're going to Walmart. It's too many of them for you not to say you don't do Walmart. We all do Walmart. You can be cool. You can say whatever you want to do. Go to SamShowNation.com. Click the Walmart link. Visit their Daily Saving Center for your hottest values and free shipping on any order $50 or more. Or you can be like me. Always take advantage of this because they have free in-store pickup. So I can order something right there on my computer, pick it up that same day at my local Walmart. Ain't that free store pickup as soon as today? I've done it. It's awesome. It's great. Go to SamShowNation.com. Click the Walmart link. Visit their Daily Saving Center. And you too can save some money. Let's face it. The holiday season's right around the corner, and we all want to save a few greenbacks. So go ahead. Go to SamShowNation.com. Click the Walmart link. The Daily Saving Center. See the hottest values. Free shipping on any orders $50 or more. Or you can pick it up at your local Walmart completely for free. And last, and certainly not least, the granddaddy of them all. You guessed it. Amazon.com. You were going to Amazon.com. If you weren't going to Walmart, we know you was going to Amazon. The internet was built for many things. One of those things is listening to New Day Revolution. Another thing, who are we kidding? Shopping. And you're going to Amazon. Only thing we ask you to do, go to SamShowNation.com. Click the Amazon link on the home page. Click the Amazon link on the current promotions page. Shop as you normally would. It's almost the holiday season. It's time for you to get whatever you need for that special someone. You could get it right from Amazon. Maybe you want to get them something that they've been wishing for, or maybe it's something you think they should have. Either way, show your loved ones you care. Go to SamShowNation.com. Click the Amazon link. Shop as you normally would. That's pretty much what I got right now. So what we're going to do, we're going to play a cut from the new EP from New Day Revolution. The song is called Judas. It's been making us rounds. I like this song. It's great. Then the next voices you will hear is me, frontman extraordinaire, Dakota Starr from New Day Revolution.
Your gold, your Judas.
I know, man. Like, we off mic, we were talking about Melissa Etheridge and the interview we had with her. But we're going Tarantino style. Like,
that's
normally,
fine.
Like, we're just gonna go all
that's
around.
That's fine. That's fine.
But let's start with Melissa Etheridge, dude. For some reason, the young cats really sleep on lyricists, really sleep on people like that. Like, I'm diehard Melissa Etheridge, Bonnie Raitt. I love a tune where you got to listen to it like 3 or 4 times, mm-hmm. and be like, oh, that, or a tune where it means something different every time you listen to it.
Yeah.
Like, a little bit before you came, how you were getting shit with Melissa Etheridge,
mm-hmm.
from your folks, my wife, Tasha, you just met her, was just giving me hell on, like, Alanis Morissette.
Dude, I was on the bus coming home from work the other day. Was it Thursday?
Uh-huh.
I got Spotify, and after, you know, you pick an artist, and then you go to related artists, and
yeah.
I started off on Keith Buckley. No, not Keith. Jeff Buckley. I mean,
uh-huh.
My girl really likes Jeff Buckley, so
okay.
I started listening to him a little bit, and then you go to related artists, and it was Alanis Morissette, and I was like, I have not heard her in a long time, but yeah. So I started listening to some of her, like, some of the hits, and I'm still like, these are strong lyrics.
These are super strong. Like, you know what? I always overshare on the podcast. If you listen, I always, like, give, like, I talk about myself. Don't get it twisted. We're going to talk about New Day Revolution. We're going to get it to you. But, like, I always...
I'm only here to talk about myself.
I always overshare. Like, one of the things that struck me, I love Alanis Morissette, but it's, like, one song I can't listen to because it bothers me.
Yeah.
But not... It doesn't bother me. In the fact of, I can't listen to it. I don't cringe when it comes on, but there is a...
Does it hit too close to home?
It is a bone. It's right there, the bone. It's Head Over Feet.
Oh,
like...
I'm trying to remember. I know I've heard
you
it.
You only made me over one.
Oh, yeah, okay.
inside of me. It's a good song. I still love it. But the problem is, back in college, I dated this girl.
It's always, I knew this girl. Yeah, I dated
this girl. I knew this girl.
Now this band or group is like, oh, that's a sensitive subject.
It's a sensitive subject now because I'm married and, like, my wife isn't the girl. It's been several girls in between them. But the thing is, that was the corny shit ever of, that's our song. Only problem is,
when I first got into Seven Dust, I dated my high school sweetheart for over 6 years, and she got into Seven Dust with me, and they're one of my favorite bands of all time, and we connected on a lot of songs. When we split, it was a bad split, and there was like 2 or 3 years, like, I couldn't listen to Seven Dust.
You got split with the artist, yeah!
Yeah, because it made me think of her, and 6 years is a long time, and
you got a split. It's like some weird custody battle
that
you lost. Like, I can't...
You know what made me start listening to Seven Dust again? I got angry at the thought. I was like, wait, I can't listen to my favorite band because of this...
Because someone took it!
So then, out of, like... Even though she wasn't there, it was, like, my own little, like, fuck you type thing. To be like, no, I'm listening to Seven Dust whether you're here or not.
You can and do then, that with Seven Dust. You can't do that with Atlantis. Like, I can't anger my way through this. Like, you listen to a tune like Denial. Like, fuck yeah! Fuck her! You can do that!
Yeah.
With, like... over feet, you just kind of like, you got it. I mean, like, it's just a little piece tattooed in my brain. So since that's our song, that was our song.
That's what women do to you, man.
They
whether they're there or not, like, they're gonna leave their mark.
It was a good song. It means more now because if you listen to the lyrics, it's like kind of like define my relationship. Like, bitch, you didn't have to try so hard.
You know who did that for? Well, it's not that I can't listen to her, but I connect with it a lot, but the last Adele record, 21, like, that's a breakup record.
Yes!
When it came out, I was in a relationship that I was good with, so I was like, yeah, that's cool, and then that's, of course, another one that ended just horribly, and then for, like, a good, like, 6 months, I'm in my car, windows up, just cranking Adele, blasting, and be like, my heart is bleeding!
You are.
I'm like, I connect with you, Adele!
You may be the fourth person that admitted that on this podcast, where, like, you try to be such a hard ass.
There's a reason that record sold like 30 million records. I mean, they're great songs, but everyone at least once has had their heart broken, and I have this habit of dating mentally broken women.
Well, that's the best kind.
It just keeps connecting with me.
Like, I have done it, and I was in a good place, but, like, I've had someone pass me and know what I'm saying. I was, like, at the red light. Like, you just came up crashing.
They can see the words.
You can see the words, yeah. Like, I was singing Set Fire to the Rain.
I was just going to say, this is the best one.
And he's, my man.
Someone like you.
And my man passed me. And he just looked at me like, really, dude?
You just have to, like, yeah, this is happening.
And, like, that's happening. And I looked at him. If you know the song, you've done it.
Yeah.
If you know the song, you've done that shit.
I look at my friends, I'm like, if you don't feel anything, you're heartless and you're a bad person.
I can't, but it's some people I identify with and they just stay with you. And that's important, man. Like, now, what's his ham-fisted segue to New Day Revolution? This is exactly why I asked you on the show. Like, this started on Facebook a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Where I saw you guys had an EP coming out. The EP release party. Please plug the EP release party.
New Day Revolution, December 5th. That's a Saturday at the Rockery in Wyandotte. Very tiny little club. We're going to pack it. It's going to be a real good, intimate punk rock show. It's only $5 to get in, and every person who pays the $5 will get a free copy. A free copy of the new record. It's four brand new songs produced by John Kay from the Coffin Cats, and it's mastered really well. It's very professional. Four great professional-sounding songs for free when you pay $5. Plus, Harlow and Read'em and Weep are there.
Both great bands.
Yep.
And if Harlow, if you're listening, you guys still have an open invitation.
Every Wednesday, Lauren cuts my hair. Every Wednesday at 6:30, I will mention.
I'm just going into it because the deal with Harlow is, I always, much like yourself, who you should have been here a long time ago. We're always out and we see each other, but we're like civilians or like we're doing whatever.
Yeah,
like, hey, whenever you guys get a chance,
They're so busy.
But that's my thing. Like, hey, whenever you guys get a chance, you guys should show up. Much like you. It just never add up. I understand they got their thing going on. And
totally. There's a couple bands. This is the first show I've ever played with Read 'Em and Weep. I saw them for the first time maybe 3 years ago mm-hmm. or something. I immediately, like, if you like, they're like AC/DC meets Motorhead. And if you, just good bar drinking music. And as soon as I saw them, I was like, this is one of the best things I've ever seen. Their singer sounds just like Danzig. And I was like, I got to play a show with these guys.
Like, when you mentioned, I never put them in the realm of AC/DC.
They just got that bar rock feel.
See, that's the thing. I went more Stones. Think 70s Stones.
Yeah, I could go see that. Their singer, dude, it sounds just like Danzig. It's creepy.
Now I
want
to test that. Now I want to test that out, man.
It does. He sounds exactly like Danzig, and that's a great thing. But yeah, for like the last 3 years now, I'm like, let's do a show. And whenever we had an open spot, they were already on a show. Mm-hmm. Or when they had an open spot, we were already on a show. Or
Sometimes we were looking
for a new drummer. Yeah. So it's taken 3 years, but this will be the first time NDR and Read 'Em and Weep, and I'm stoked.
And when I talked to you a few weeks ago, I could tell how excited you was because that transmitted over Facebook to me. Well, I was just like, I was excited because this is your second EP.
Second EP.
The first one was good. I'm not shitting on it. No, I'm just saying it was good.
As a singer, I'm emotionally fragile.
Compliments. I know the Baidu rule. You're an artist. You're sensitive about
your
shit.
You just don't get me.
Like, I understand that. But there was a...
We did that record when we got together. I mean, we were still coming up with our own sound. Up to that point, that was the most proud I've ever been of any recording I had. But
I liked the signal, but it was just raw. It was so raw. It was good, but it was just like...
We had only played maybe 4 or 5 shows. I told the guys, I'm like, we're going to write, we're going to get a set's worth, and then we're going to record immediately because I want to get something out that people can play. Because you hear a band at a bar, and you're like, oh, these guys are cool. Then you have a couple too many drinks. You don't have anything to take home with you.
Got it.
You wake up, and you're like, oh, I don't remember. But I know I liked them, but I can't remember what they sounded like. Or you might not even remember their name. So I'm like, we got to get something out
immediately. So it's me and the Ritz when we talked again.
Yeah.
So it's me and the Ritz. That's like years ago at the Ritz, you guys played a show. And I guess where it transmitted into, like, you like to dance on stage.
Oh, I love it.
And that was my ticket in, or where we talked about this, where your spirit animal comes out on stage. Oh, and the Dakota Star.
I can't. You know, I just don't headbang. It's too masculine.
It's too cliche.
We play rock and roll and it's loud and it's intense and it's dark and it's like, it's very aggressive, very caveman-like. That's what rock mm-hmm. and roll is. But I don't know, man. Like, the music my mom raised me on was the Stones and Guns N' Roses and Aerosmith. I'm like,
You have good parents?
My mom, man, she loves rock and roll. She raised me on Tina Turner, Alice Cooper.
Yes.
But I'm just like, you need to, I don't know, I love to dance. And I hear the music. I'm like, I don't want a headbang that's too angry. I like to dance. Rock and roll should be a little sexual. It should be. You got to keep it a little sexy.
It usually is.
So I'm just like, yeah, you're not going to see me headbang and just stand there. Like, I can't. It's not even an option.
Like, the dance part, that's what won me over. Where it was just kind of like.
See, a lot of guys will be like, no, that's good. That's good. I'm like, whatever. Like, and I like to wear vests and ties and coats.
But
and,
there was a vibe about that where I was just kind of like, the vest, the ties, the coat. Because
you can see that I love Scott Weiland when I'm on stage.
I'm a diehard Scott Weiland fan, and like that's where we bonded on Ricky Rock's show.
You just connect. Like,
where we were talking about like STP, and we were talking about like memory serves me right. The death toll of Scott Weiland. Like, you better enjoy it while you can. Because,
have you seen his videos lately?
You know what,
dude?
It's not. I don't blame the internet. Like, you know what? I'll go inside baseball. Very inside baseball. By the day we're recording this, this goes up. You're good with it going up tomorrow? I'm good with it going up.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
I don't.
All right, it goes up tomorrow. Anyway, inside baseball. See, Scott Weiland has a many demons. Many. But
it's sad,
he's
man.
Not that guy anymore. That was just an isolated incident. You know, like I said, I'm going inside baseball, and if they get mad at me for doing it, let them get mad at me. Scott Weiland was supposed to be recording today. Well, tonight.
Yeah.
He's here at the Hard Rock Cafe.
Yeah, I saw that.
Later on tonight.
I won't go, though, because I've seen too many of his solo performances. I love Scott Weiland.
Go. Just take my word on this. Because of time restraints,
yeah,
he couldn't record and be in, like, pick Chicago tomorrow because of time. It's just, I get it. I understand. I'm disappointed because that's one of my white whales. I always want to talk to Scott Weiland.
Oh,
just to get in. That's one of my white whales. But we did sort of talk on the phone to write up on Facebook or what have you because Scott Weiland, and I hope I'm not speaking out of school. Please feel free to come on this podcast and check me if I'm wrong. He just plain don't trust the internet.
It's understandable.
It's totally understandable. He doesn't trust it because every time he's on the internet, they find the worst version of him and hype it.
This is not me saying I'm not a fan of Scott. I like his solo record.
I still
I've
am.
Seen so many performances. Oh, I'm like, this guy's out of it. And I'm not. Oh, I can't stand when you see it. It's not even Scott Weiland, but it's just anyone who you can tell has their issues. And people leave the comments
it.
And they're like, oh, just OD already. Just OD. First of all, I'm like, this is a human being.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's wrong with you? Why are you hoping someone dies? But as a fan and like and fellow artist, respect what he does, I'm like, he can do so many great things that I'm like, as a fan, I'm like, I'm worried about you. Please, this, something, I'm like, and he says he hasn't done heroin in the over 10 years. I'm like, okay, if it's
great.
Not that, it's something else. But I'm like, you can see it in his eyes and the way he sings. He's not, it's just, you're like, something is not
Here's how I look at
right
it.
Now.
He's been a part of three rock revolutions.
Yeah.
He's been a part of STP,
oh,
which,
so good.
The alternative movement during that time, he thoroughly almost a cornerstone of that.
I argue with people all the time. Everyone says Nirvana or Pearl Jam. I'm like, best man of the 90s, without a doubt for me, STP. I get Nirvana. You get Teen Spirit, Change the World. But
these are conversations we have had. Oh my!
If you listen to every STP record, they're all different. With the DeLeo brothers, like, Beatles-like music melodies, and then you have Scott Weiland's lyrics, and he was the only, like, real rock star.
There's a 1A and 1B to that.
Right.
My 1B is the what I said. Smashing Pumpkins.
Good.
1A, 1B is different because, yes, I do agree. Scott Weiland is that generation's rock. That just
when you compare
full on rock star. If I had to point to the guy
who was, yeah,
it's the guy.
You saw him come out, and sometimes he had suits on, sometimes big fur coats.
Sometimes he had
didn't
a dress.
Dress. He didn't stand there. He moved.
Yeah.
So you're like, that guy's a rock star.
If you're pointing to the guy, you point to Scott Weiland. If you're pointing to the band, you're pointing to Smashing Pumpkins.
See, I'm not the DeLeo brothers' sense of melodies for just great pop songs. I'm just like
Creep. Creep is a good one.
For me, Interstellar...
Interstellar Love Song was too commercial for me.
See, no, they mastered. They're like, okay, we're going to make
good,
it...
It was good, though!
They have the skill to make something really commercial to where, like, you can't deny it, but yet they're still artistic about it. I think that's really... I don't think pop songs get enough credit, because you hear a lot of pop songs, and you're like, it's very disposable. And you're like, that's nothing. There's no substance to it. Or you get bands that are real deep and artsy, but you're like... You can't connect with a large audience. It's a very, like,
makes
niche
sense.
Thing.
I can see that. I
so
can
to
see
find that.
That
skill to be like, it's so catchy, you can't help but tap your toe to it, but yet we're still saying something intelligent, we're still saying something deep in it. It's like, we're tricking you to, like, deeper art.
But
and I think that's a skill that the DeLeo brothers have.
I completely agree. There's no but. I'm not countering. But you did make me think of something. Sex Type Thing. I could listen to Sex Type Thing right now and still have the same feeling I had in high school, junior high, whatever. But like I said, he transcends. Then we got Velvet Revolver.
Oh, that was the band that rock and roll needed at the time.
He brings it back every time. Whatever that movement
there was
that,
no, just what was great about it, it did have that, I don't think the music sounded like Guns N' Roses at all.
No.
But it had that feel like really like, are these guys going to last
a
week?
Are you real?
Like, what? Like, it could fall apart at any time. But yet, they somehow kept it together. And I'm like, there's no rock bands like that anymore.
At that time, you only had three. You had them, Audioslave, and the Killers. Mm-hmm. You had three rock bands total.
And, oh, yeah. Man.
Everybody else was doing that weird pop rock that god-awful rap rock that we just should erase from history.
Some of it's all right. Some of it's all right.
Name one.
Well, besides Rage. You know, obviously.
Rage doesn't count as that rap rock.
I'm going to tell you. Okay, besides
Rage,
my friends giving me crap about Melissa Etheridge, I love, 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 and I will defend forever Papa Roach. Yeah, see, I can see the...
there we go. That's Papa Roach.
See, now that's
I'll
another
give you
band.
Papa Roach's first album.
No, all of them.
Really?
And let me defend myself.
Yeah, please.
Okay, so for me, how
last resort. I give you last resort.
See, I will say like how we were just talking a few minutes ago about connecting with lyrics. For me, if you ever read any interviews or watch interviews with mm-hmm. Jacoby, he's extremely open. He's extremely open. Their newest song, for instance, Gravity, like he talks about, you know, he's married to his high school sweetheart. He's like, I've cheated on her. I do drugs. I drink pills, yeah. Whatever. I'm a horrible father. I'm a horrible husband. But yet she stays with me, and I'm trying to get better. You're like, wow, you are putting it all on the table, and we can all judge you and be like, you might not be a great person, really. But I respect his openness and in all of his songs. And that's another band that can make a crazy, really catchy hook where you can't help but sing along to it.
Yeah,
but then you listen to the lyrics and I'm like, I connect because you're so open and I respect that about you.
But
he puts it all out on the table.
He does, but that's where my problem is. Not with his personal life, not with his demons or whatever. It's not, he's too eccentric.
See,
where you need to streamline just a little bit.
See, I
just
see him
a little
like,
bit.
You're a train wreck, and I can relate because my life's a train wreck. So,
like, but that's the thing with train wrecks.
But that's what we liked about
when
Scott
you hit
Weiler.
The wall, it's all, but that's the thing with Scott Weiler. His train wreck is still going. Where
it's hitting a few walls.
It's several, but for some reason, it's still going, and we have not seen bottom. With Scott Weiland, like, Scott Weiland and Keith Richards are the train wrecks that just keeps on fucking going. Like,
see, I feel like that's how Jacoby is.
But Jacoby isn't enough where that where we give that thumbs up, that spotlight. What we talked about, that is, we anoint you as the rock guy.
Have you ever seen any footage of them live?
Yes!
He moves, like, once again, in modern rock, he's one of the few frontmen, too. I like that. He does not stand there. Like, I respect Aaron Lewis's lyrics. He's very emotional. But if you see Stain live, he just
stands
there.
He's a different guy, yeah.
But you see Jacoby, he's going to go insane. Not because necessarily that's what's entertaining, but because he's so emotional.
Maybe.
It's just how it is. And for me, that's how, like, how I would say it. I can't help but not jump and dance on stage.
I get that. I get that.
He can't
understand
control
it, but it's just like when you jump two extremes, we just kind of like, come on, man. Just
dude, listen to Infest, that whole record. You're like, this guy's got his issues.
I will listen to Infest.
Listen to Broken Home.
And that's where I draw the line, goddammit. That's where I draw the line.
That's where he got angry at his parents, and now he's had nothing but
that's the thing.
Issues.
I can't identify with it because I'm, like, cool with my parents. Had I listened to that around... I don't know, 15, 16, maybe I would have...
See, I was 15.
Okay, and there we go.
Up.
Like, now I'm like...
I was that angry white kid from the suburbs, like, oh, jeez, Mom, you just don't get me.
Yeah, but I was angry, but it was a lot of, like, shut the fuck up, anger. That weird, they call it a coup. It was a coup. It's like, and we just needed to elect a new leader and then overthrow you, which we still haven't.
I'm
going to Thanksgiving in a few weeks.
So, yeah, how do we, where do we go?
I don't know. We'll get it back.
We went from Papa Roach and Rapper. Oh, no. Okay,
New Day
so,
Revolution, but I'm still with it. I love.
STP, and then he went to Velvet Revolver,
yeah.
And then.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if you know this show, the point is always scattered.
That's fine.
But that's what I love about the show.
We have no awkward silences. That's the key thing.
And we're going to talk about New Day Revolution.
Of course we start,
and then we go off on another tangent. This show is mostly tangents. I don't know if you ever noticed.
That's all right.
That's my thing with... what I was getting at with the signal. That's where we lost
track.
The
record you thought was a little bit shitty.
No, I didn't think it was shitty at all. It was just raw.
We were very raw.
You were a high octane band, a high octane local band.
You got to remember, too, the signal was the first thing I did after Dirty Whiskey. I was in Dirty Whiskey for 11 years.
But Dirty Whiskey.
But that didn't end well.
That did not end well. That's what I was going to get into. I told you we were going Tarantino style.
10 years of, like, I started Dirty Whiskey when I was 16. And I would always joke that I was like the Dave Mustaine of Detroit. Not nearly as big or anything.
Yeah.
But the way that Megadeth has a million members, I was always... I think I had 8 drummers in Dirty Whiskey. About 7 guitar players. So I was always the one keeping, like, we lose someone... Screw it. We'll find someone else. We keep going. So I trudged through for 10, 11 years.
But you learned that lesson in youth, which was cool because you learned that you were just in a good place because, well, you throw a rock in Metro Detroit, you will hit an artist.
Yeah, but it's hard to get a dedicated one.
Oh, thus the rock.
I never... Quitting wasn't an option because I'm like, well, what else am I going to do? Am I just going to go to work and come home and then what? Watch Hulu? No. I need something to do. So that was a worse breakup than like any of my relationships. So going into to New Day Revolution, the name New Day Revolution was kind of a response to...
Are you reading my questions at this point? No, keep going.
But because, you know, I was like, the word revolution, you know, it's a strong, passionate word. So I was like, let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were like, well, what could go with it? And I thought New Day, because I felt like with Dirty Whiskey, and I had to come back stronger than ever. So that's how we got the name. But yeah, those original songs, man, like it was just, and Drew was the rhythm guitar player of Dirty Whiskey at the end. And I looked at it when it was ending. I was like, dude, I can't take this. This isn't fun anymore. I just texted him. I was like, we're starting a new band. I didn't ask him. I just told him. We're starting a new band. It's going to be modern, and it's going to be aggressive, and it's going to be less 80s rock. He just responded, okay. And then that was it. That was our goal. And so we were very raw because I felt, like, very exposed. I was like, I don't know anything other than Dirty Whiskey. Even though I had numerous members, it was always Dirty Whiskey still. I'm like, this is my first time ever doing something that wasn't listed as Dirty Whiskey.
Now, I just want to put my pin in this with Dirty Whiskey. There, one thing you guys did, I don't know if you did it inadvertently, you guys made a lot of kids. I call them kids because you guys got off shots everywhere from former members of Dirty Whiskey that kind of sort of sounds like Dirty Whiskey. So that I always call them kids. And I'm not saying they rip you off or anything like that. I'm just saying you can tell that influence of where they were. They carried it with
you. I've never heard anyone say that. And that's a huge compliment to me.
You guys got kids out there.
I don't think we were original. Like, I'm not saying we reinvented the wheel. We loved Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses. So we were like, we're going to be a dirty rock band. That's all we
were going to do. Town when you get a chance. You guys got kids out there where they probably will never admit it to your face. Maybe somewhere deep down after many therapist sessions... They will say, like, all right, maybe I did kind of borrow this.
Well, the way Velvet Revolver, when they came out, they were the only dirty, in-your-face, but, like, legit, almost dangerous rock band. That's kind of when I started Dirty Whiskey, nu metal was big, and I liked nu metal, but I was like, no, where's the guitars? I want guitar rock. There is no guitar rock. There are no front men anymore. So that was just always our goal, just to be very raw and aggressive.
But it worked because
we played a lot of shows.
You played a lot of shows, and you got
sometimes
a lot of
attention. People. Sometimes there was nobody, but
you play like you were playing the Palace every fucking night.
Well, that's what you got to do, because even if there's only two people in that crowd, who knows who those two people are?
I was one of those people.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, okay, this guy is so like.
And then they go and tell their friends, and then their friends tell their friends, you know, all that.
Or you get on a podcast and tell roughly 40,000 people about, oh, I was with this blah blah blah. But then, like, I liked it, but it was high octane. But now when I listen to the new stuff off the new EP, there's a tap on the shoulder. There's someone like, calm the fuck down, all right? Like, there's not. It's not. It's still heavy. But it's a little bit mellower grooves. It's just, it's a, like more streamlined, if you will.
Yeah, the first record
there's
was,
a point.
There was emotion that it was so strong, it was like it can't be controlled.
It was,
and now, like we're still very, very angry. If anything, I think we're angrier than ever. But
it's
we can focus
targeted.
More.
Yeah, it's weaponized.
I've had a few minutes to just throw things around the room and trash things. Now I can be like, okay, I've taken a couple breaths, and now I'm really feeling like, what's making me upset?
Like,
all right, now I'm going to focus right on that. I'm going right for the throat.
You can clearly see your influences are Seven Dust. But one thing I've seen a little bit in you guys now off the new EP, and we will play songs, we already played one, but Drowning Pool, I'm seeing you going down the road, maybe a Breaking Benjamin-ish road, where it's still heavy, but you have a point.
Yeah.
It will get heavy again, but you're like I said, it's almost like a weaponized sound.
Yeah,
we want you to know this.
I think this record, we went, because when we did new... When we started with the signal,
first
we were
two
like,
records Breaking Benjamin too. I don't mean to offend.
I'm not offended. I don't. Maybe someone else in the band listens to Breaking Benjamin. I don't personally.
No, I'm just saying that influence is probably there.
It might
talk,
be.
Talk it up.
But well, shit, I lost my train of thought.
Sorry.
No, it's cool. But oh yeah, when we started in the ER, we made a point like. We can't sound like Dirty Whiskey. And Dirty Whiskey was like that blues rock. And when we start writing, we'd write and we're like, that's too Dirty Whiskey. Too Dirty Whiskey. We got to change it. And now...
There's a sign on the door of your practice. No Dirty Whiskey.
No, we just... Drew and I know, like, we'll write something. We're like, that's cool. Then we look at something. We're like, nah, it's not right. But now with... So I feel like we try to be more modern with that first record. And this one, we didn't say, hey, let's go to our roots. We just were comfortable with ourselves by now, so we just wrote whatever we wanted. And when I hear the record, I don't think we're a punk band like the Dead Kennedys or anything, but our attitude the last year or so has gotten very punk. Like, we don't give a shit about anything but us. And not in a negative way, but I'm like, if you like it, awesome. If not...
If you don't, well, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck off. I don't care. And we're just... I feel like we're very raw now, but... Like I said, we can focus better, and we know, like, okay, if we're going to write a hook, we're going to write a real good hook, and we're going to write a groove, and if it has a little bit more old-school rock, kind of like Dirty Whiskey, oh, wow, that's what it is, and I feel like this record is much more rock and roll.
And I agree with this. This album, compared to The Signal, is more of a slow burn compared to how Signal was just, it's right here.
Yeah.
It's right in your face.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the first thing people were going to ever hear from us, so we were like, get your attention right away. But now we've
now
got our name out.
You're kind of smoothing people into,
All right,
well, if you still don't like it, it's on you, but one thing I think we could both agree on, easier to dance to, which we're going to see on the 5th of December.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is more groove. Like the song Demon in You, when we first wrote that, I looked at the guys, I'm like, this is a lap dance song. Now, lyrically, it's not. It has nothing to do with women and strippers, but...
It can be.
But that groove...
What you had to drink that night. It can be.
But I'm like, I could easily get a lap dance to this song, and I would be okay with that. And there's nothing wrong with grooves. Like, I love fast songs. I love heavy songs, but, man, when you can just... Even if you don't know the words to it, you can just easily bob your head. Those are great songs. I'm like, that's what this song is.
Okay. And I know we're going Tarantino style, but even in New Day Revolution, you guys have shuffled the deck a few times on members.
That's the only not us choosing. We've never kicked a guy out, and luckily we end on good terms. with everyone.
Why,
but
you learned your lesson the first time.
Yeah.
You learned your, let's not burn bridges this time.
Firing people is not fun. I never look forward to it. Sometimes it unfortunately has to happen. But with this one, with our members we've lost, it legit, everything ended good. Nick, our original drummer, had a shoulder injury. Mm-hmm. The doctor, it got to a point the last couple shows he couldn't lift his arm up. So you could see while he was drumming, he was in a lot of pain. The doctor told him, you have no cartilage, you need surgery, and you're probably never going to drum again. So, unfortunately, he was like, I'll finish the shows, but then I'm done. And we had a bass player, Steve. Steve still, I talked to him all the time. I hung out with him on Halloween. And he has two kids, and he's just like, guys, I just don't have time for it. So, okay, we lose him, and then we get, you know, to replace Nick, we got Mike, and we played hard that year. We were playing almost every weekend. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he was 40, and he was married and had three stepkids, and after a year, he was just like, I just can't keep up. So we lost another drummer, and we're like, and that's, this record would have been out in, like, early summer if Mike hadn't left. But unfortunately, we had to push it back because we had to find a new guy, and we got Anthony now on drums, and he's our age, no kids, no health issues. But yeah, everybody who's been in this band, we get along with great. I think in the 3 years this band's been together, we've had two arguments, and they weren't even full arguments. There were maybe like 2 minutes of disagreements, and then you're like, okay, sorry, man, I called you a dick. Oh, that's cool. I'm sorry, too. Like, no fights. This is
okay.
There's no drama. It's just like when we lose a guy, we're like, oh, no.
Wow, this is like the polar opposite of Dirty Whiskey.
It is. And, you know, we're talking all this stuff about Dirty Whiskey, and I don't want anyone to think
Once again, not shitting on Dirty Whiskey.
No, I love Dirty Whiskey. I'm proud of everything we did.
I'm still cool with some of the members. Not all. I have not met all of them. I'm still cool with some of the members that I have met along my travels. It's just...
But that band... Sometimes it's easier to be friends outside of bands because then you can just hang out. And now when I see the guys from the band, we're cool. I see Ricky all the time, and me and him are totally
fine.
I'm
still cool with Ricky.
But sometimes working with people, that changes things drastically.
Obviously, because you're dealing with, you know, roughly 20-some-odd minutes ago, you said that caveman energy.
Yeah.
You're not the only one with caveman energy. There's a lot of alpha males in that room.
Yeah.
And you're going to butt heads, and that's how it starts. Everyone thinks they're right. Regardless of what the argument is about.
Yeah.
You got those alphas in that room, you are immediately right about whatever it is. And you're going to go hell or high water to show this other alpha that I am right.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that
working with
Dirty Whiskey was like the ecosystem for that.
Yeah. There was some drama. There was some drama. I love the guys, and I love what we did. And when like I said, I see Ricky all the time at shows, and he comes and supports NDR all the time, and I go see Mountain Road, and we talk about it, and we're all good, but we don't have to make those, like, what do you think this song should be like, or what do you think? We don't have to have those topics or those conversations, so it's all good.
Yeah.
But now NDR, Drew and I know how to work. I mean, I've been playing music with him now for 5 years. We know how it works with writing, and just this band, you see us on stage, we're intense, and the music's intense, but, like, at practice, all we do is joke. All we do is goof around, and I can't help but I am reminded of Dirty Whiskey. I'm like, ooh, this is a lot less tension. And some people work great with tension. I personally don't. So I'm like, I feel like I'm more creative here because I feel less stress. I got enough stress in life, and that fuels the song. So when I get to, I'm like, guys, I got these feelings, I got these thoughts, I got to get them out. I'm freaking out. And then there's no tension with them, so I'm like, they just help me get these thoughts out.
One thing I do like asking frontmen, especially, I like asking bands, but frontmen is...
Yes, I am the greatest.
And there we go. All right, well, we can wrap this up. No, but I like playing with the level of duality.
Yeah.
Because the guy I'm seeing now, you're still the gold star inside, deep down, but you're chill, you're relaxed. I can understand most of your words. Everything is cool. You're not yelling. You're laid back. But I need to know what that drug is. And I've been victim to it when our live shows. Like, you turn it. Is it the light? Is it the second you step on stage?
I mean, flip
that switch. And you are a different animal. Then when you get back off stage, hey, man, you know, whatever.
It's total therapy for me. I always joke that I'm like, oh, I'm so fucked up and stuff. But, like, I am. I haven't gone through everything in life, but I've gone through enough that it's affecting me. I'm a very sensitive person. I'm a very emotional person. In the band, I'm always the one. You can tell on my face if I'm having a good time or bad time. I can't hide it. So, yeah, you get those lights. You hear the crowd. You hear that guitar get turned up. The adrenaline kicks in. But for me, because I do write all the lyrics in the band, every song we sing, I never fully get over anything. Because
you're
as I'm singing
it, you, yeah.
And in order for me to perform that song the best I can, I got to get back into that mindset. I don't want to fake it. So if I'm writing our first single ever, it was No Goodbye. I lost a dear friend of mine. He was shot by a police officer. And the whole song is about how last time I saw him, we played video games. You know, you're just like, oh, see you, loser. And you leave. And I'm like, I didn't know that was going to be the last time I saw him. So the whole song is me being like, hey, man, if I got to see you again, I would not call you a loser and say, see you next week. I would have said something much more heartfelt. And so every time we play that song, I always think about my friend.
But
and
he
so then
knew.
I'm,
that's the thing.
I know
no
he
one
knows.
Knew he was going to check out that day. No one knew that. But he knew what you meant.
Oh, I have
he
no question.
Knew who you are. Yeah.
Yeah, but I still, when I sing it, I'm like, I remember my friend calling me and telling me.
Don't get me wrong,
so
I'm not trying
to
fix you.
No. And so I'm like, that's what I remember. And we, you know, we have a song that unfortunately didn't make the record, but we still play live, Raggedy Ann. And that whole song is about a relationship coming to an end. It's not done yet. You guys haven't officially, like, said this is done, but you're hanging out. But it's different between
we
two.
We know.
And so then I play that song, and I can't help but think about this relationship and how it made me so upset seeing it was crumbling, and I couldn't
that's
do anything about it. And so, yeah, when I play these songs, I go back into those mind frames of whether I was freaking out, sad, angry, and that's really what does it. Whether there's 100 people there that night or 2 people, I'm in my head reliving this event.
Now,
and I can't help but get emotional about it.
Yeah, because you are have the infinite versions of you. You are going back into the 16-year-old with angst who wrote that song, or you're going back to that day when you were playing Madden before horrible things happened.
Yeah.
Was it Madden? Hold on, I just said
no, it was Halo. I remember he had an N64. He would always text me like, "Hey, come over and play GoldenEye. We'll drink whiskey and listen to Pantera." I'm like, "All right,
okay.
I'll be there in 10 minutes."
But my whole point is, when you were playing those, it just turns into you go back to that self, that version of you.
Yeah,
but when you leave, you become you again, the guy who's sitting in front of me right now. So, like you said, it's therapy, but there isn't a little piece in your mind.
Especially after the show, I'm exhausted because I'm like, oh, man, I was just
you just emoted for an hour or some change.
So after the show, they're like, oh, you're a lot calmer. I'm like, yeah, I'm drained of energy. Like, it's just, I'm like, yeah, just I'm tired. And I'm like, it's cool. And I couldn't live my life that emotional 24/7. It's so draining, those 45, 60 minutes you get, that you're like,
oh my God, Matt. Like, I've said it many times on this podcast. I love frontman and I love you artists.
We're crazy, man. We're crazy.
You are ridiculously crazy. And I am insanely jealous of it because I'm more on the comedy side. So here's two things I'm like insanely jealous with on the comedy side. I'm a
you
joker.
Should be jealous of my emotional.
Yeah, I am. Here's why: you guys emote for 45 minutes and shut the fuck up and be great people afterwards.
Yeah,
because you got it all out. See, on the comedy side, we're robots on stage. Like, if you ever go to a live show and see this podcast or see me host or whatever, it's joke, 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 joke. Introduce joke, 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 joke. It's rapid fire jokes.
Yeah.
On your phone, you could go back to any live show, which is nonstop jokes. If they're funny, if they're not, that's on you. But I only get one shot to tell this joke, and I'm in robot mode. And then when I get off stage, I'm you on stage. I'm like, oh man, was that funny? What the fuck, man? How many people listen to this? Okay, you know, work on your timing, man. How many Lamar Odom jokes did I tell? Like, I can't go back and like fix it.
I mean, there's some nights. I mean, you play and you're like, man, did they like it? I mean, you think that. But I'm sure the other guys think it a little bit more. It's just for me personally, I'm just like, I'm exhausted.
But
like,
there's a jealousy with that because you can sing No Goodbye, you can sing Nine Lives, and you can just do that, and you can coast off those good tunes. You don't have to change it. You don't have, and people still enjoy it, like, because the audience is transferred until when they first heard it. Like, oh, it was a good song. I have to come with new shit every time I cut on this mic. I have to be new. I get one time to use a joke, and if it's funny, you laugh, great. But
that does sound stressful.
I can't go back and be like, hey, remember that joke I told last week? No.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a fast writer. It could take me weeks to finish a song.
And you can coast on that forever.
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing No Goodbye now for like 3 years.
Yeah.
I can't imagine
something. It is like, still good.
Come up with five more this week. I'm like, oh God.
Like me. Like, I will tell personal stories. Like, I told the Alanis Morissette story. And, I can never tell the story again.
Well, I'm glad I was here for you to
tell. Yeah, I mean, like, the people listening are here, too. Like, oh, well, great. He's going to tell another story about his past. And, like, I got to, like, keep living and keep doing
shit.
Yeah,
that's true, because this is the only podcast I got to do.
Yeah, exactly. So, like...
All right, I can see it.
You get what I'm saying? Like, now I got to, like, do some shit in the next 7 days.
Okay, I can understand that from a, like, performance level, but...
Yeah, that's what I said.
As an everyday thing.
Oh, man, no, you guys are fucked up. No.
Like, my life is very stressful. People go, why don't you just relax, man? I'm like...
You can't.
I'm like, yeah, you think I would do that if I could?
Yeah, on an everyday thing. Good luck.
No, yeah, like, no, don't.
I'm jealous of the efficiency. Like, right. You can knock that out in an episode of Girls. Like, you can be like, oh, I cried? I'm gay.
Yeah.
Me, I'm like...
Sit on Adele for 40 minutes. I'm like, I'm good for a week.
You're good. Me, I got it like, all right, well, that was funny. Now, like, you can chart my emotional angst, and this is brought up to me by a listener. You can chart my emotional angst on Facebook. On Sunday morning, when these podcasts go out, he's like at the top of the world. Throughout the week, it just like slowly declines. It has an uptick on Thursday for some reason. People like listen to me.
See,
on Thursday.
At least it's steady. Because for me, you could be like, you can look at my Facebook like Monday. Oh, that's a rough day. Oh, but by 5 o'clock, he was good. Oh, then something happened at 8 o'clock, and it's down.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah,
mine is like, well, it's Friday. Anything happen? No. What the hell are we gonna talk about? No. Oh. All right,
yeah, see, I'm allowed to, like, maybe it's best for the music if I don't ever fully move on from a situation. I'm like, oh, no, I can milk this relationship for, like, 3 records.
Will, you milk the relationship every time you sing the song.
Yeah. Like, so every time I'm like, I think I'm getting over her. Oh,
I got a concert. I'm like,
oh, well, yeah,
well, here we go.
I'm like, and I'm going to think about her at least for 12 minutes.
Yeah. Like, myself, I understand my wife will listen to this. And I have done good by I have worked on it by not giving names. We used to give full names in stories, and like, but we live in a digital age.
Yeah.
So like, people who listen, like Facebook, the person we're talking about, like, you know, fuck it. I've already burnt this bridge. Let's keep going.
Because I don't know this person, but now I'm about.
Well, to- I didn't. I'm not going to say the name again. But you could go back to the episode and listen. Yeah. Like, it was just in high school, I was one of my superlatives, king of HJs. I was the king of the hand job. Not because I wanted that title, it's because I could close a fucking deal. I was always counter guy. Oh, I can't get that? But here's what I can get.
and shoot for something high, and then they're willing to
negotiate. It was always a negotiating spot. Only problem is, I gave the full name of a young lady who was just like, we can do that. And I gave the location. I'll tell you the location. Location is Star Theater on Gratiot. And I can't believe they have not cut that fucking tree down. But if you go to the Star Gratiot Theater, right where the new library is, go to the, like, go up, make that hard right, and the last parking space has a tree there. That was HJ Central.
Did you grow that tree with your seed?
My seed could have helped it live this long, but that was HJ Central. So if you ever want to know the ground zero of Sam's High School HJs, you get I'm going to ruin every experience you ever have in that place.
Like, is that the tree?
That is the tree. If you say, is that the tree? It is the tree. And I gave her full name, and I got like a Facebook request. It was just kind of like, hey, I got kids now.
Oh,
could you not say my name?
I can kind of.
And I got a second Facebook message from her dude.
Oh, he wasn't
angry at the past. He was more like, "Hey man, how you get her to do that? What did you say at 16? Because apparently he's not getting it now.
At 16, what do you got to lose?
Because
you're like, I wasn't getting it before. What's
apparently
gonna change?
In 10 years, you're going to hear about it on the radio. In about a decade. Hey, remember that time?
It can get weird, too. The last couple shows, I'm in a relationship now, and it's going very well. I always joke with her. I'm like, I'm waiting for you to be batshit crazy. And she's like, why would I do
that? Great album.
And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I'm like, I would do things. I'm like, normally this is when, like, you should freak out. And she's like, why would I freak out? Just do whatever you do. And I'm like, all right. And I keep tiptoeing. I'm like, look at him. Like, any second now. And it's been months now. I'm like, man, you still are really cool. But she'll come to shows and she's super supportive. When I went to put up posters at the Rockery, she was there. She's like, give me some, I'll go to the girls' bathroom, anything I can do to help you promote. I'm like, that's awesome. But she's come to shows, and then I play those songs, and she knows, like, I never name names, but she's like, I know that's about, you know, an ex. And then I'm like, I feel weird if I, like, make eye contact with you when we play the song. It's just but she's like, yeah, you have a past. It's cool. Everyone has a past. I'm like, all right. So.
That's the bridge. That's the bridge me and you can meet. That's called acceptance. Because, like, Tasha had to deal with acceptance because I would just tell her stuff. She was just like, so in your relationships, you used to do this, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I am unlike anybody you've ever dated because I live for the story. I'm one of those guys. So sometimes
I have many stories.
And there
crazy
you go.
Exes and the things you do when you're single. And I'm a very open person, and I don't get offended by other people's past. So
that's
I have a habit of
it.
Just blurting it out. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot. You might not want to hear that.
No, I'll blurt it out, but I know it's almost like I'm taking advantage of it because my wife has already had that moment that, oh, you're crazy. And like that acceptance level, like one of the things I told her, I think, that won her over, I was like, I've never cheated on a girl. And she was like, that's good. This is third date, mind you.
Isn't that bad that you have to, is it that you're bragging when you haven't cheated on someone?
No. You got to let me finish the sentence.
All right.
Like, on the third date, I put the cards on the table. I was like, I've never cheated on a woman. And she was like, that's great. That's blah, blah, blah. And she cut me off too. I was like, no, because I always, in my mind, I always thought you can do so much worse. Like, cheating to me was so minor league.
Oh.
It's so passe. You gotta be the fucking villain.
Yeah.
Like, because there's no everything's okay alarm.
Yeah.
That's how I was raised. If you have a fight with your chick or you have a fight with your dude, she is bitching you out to anyone who would listen to her. And there's no alarm that says he's okay again. So, in their eyes, you're already the devil.
All right.
So, really explore the space of what you can do. Like, don't cheat. Be more creative. Like, I audited a chick.
That's
You ever audit a chick? That is, it's so satisfying.
Yeah, that could really mess with somebody.
Not like on a financial level. Well, sort of. Think of it like this. This is what I call it, the audit. You're already breaking up, right?
Yeah.
So here's what you do. You get your friends, whoever. The number has to be greater than 4. And you write down a list, and you show up over her house or place of wherever she's living, and you just take everything you bought. Oh, God, that's satisfying. Not
I've never done that.
It is so good.
It's usually me, like, texting, like, I'm going to be buying today. Have my
stuff
ready.
Have my stuff ready. No, you gave her the option to pick and choose.
Yeah, and then you get home, you're like, oh, she forgot this.
Can't go back again.
No, then you're like, I didn't really want that anyway.
You got to go with the audit because you picked all your stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember some of the things on the list, and I was like, hey, whatever's left, that's on your conscience.
Yeah.
Never say that to, like, dudes that's broke. Because they're just now stealing. You just made it okay to steal shit.
Yeah.
And, like, I remember even during... This is the time of CDs. People who are listening to me, CDs are these magical discs.
They were around. And there was a time. And I still have a million of them. And I can't bring myself to get rid of them. But I'm also like, it's been a while since I've used one of these.
I remember I told them it was written on the list. When you go through her CD, when you go through her CDs,
like, I want this one.
Take all the crows. Anything Cheryl is hers. Counting Crows, Black Crows, that's me.
Black Crows.
Yeah, exactly.
Take
that's
all
me.
Those.
That's me. All the crows. Only crow that's hers is Cheryl. And I just left with not one, but 3 boxes of stuff. I felt satisfied.
That is a. I can't. Oh, I've never done it, but that does sound very satisfying.
It is. Like, I've done... Like, I am the king of breakups. Because I want to get in your memory to the... Like, I want that... I'm already a villain. I'm already... Because if I cheat, I don't want there to be an excuse for what I did.
Yeah.
Like, if you cheat, it's like, well, all men cheat. Blah, 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 blah. And then they live their life. And, like, they get mad and write a song about you later. And, like, I want some shit there's no redemption for. Because, like...
I mean, hey, go big or go home.
Go big or go home! Like, the audit. The audit is good. That's in the top 5. I fake my death.
Wow.
Twice. It's awesome. Like, you gotta go big.
But they know you're alive now, right?
That's called the resurrection.
Oh.
You gotta die, but in a such a way... Well, here's how I did.
How'd you die?
How would I die? Simply put, this is back when Belle Isle was like... apparently, you could do whatever the fuck you wanted, Belle Isle.
Okay.
Before, like, the government got it. Before it became, like... So, I broke up at Belle Isle, and, like, she was... I kind of had a feeling she was with the other dude. Mm-hmm. Kind of, sort of, but no concrete evidence. So I'm like, I know, and I don't give a fuck. I'm just like blaming her, and yeah, yeah, blah, blah. And then I can't live without you. I turned it on a dime, like total WWE heel turn. And I was like, I can't live without you, blah, 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 blah. And I am notorious for wearing hats. So what I did, I act like I jumped. It was like, it was so dark that you don't see this guy running. So I just did a jumping motion towards the bridge. But you're in that bend where the clock is.
Yeah.
So you don't really know what you're seeing if you're chasing after me. You just see a guy get to the edge and just dropped. But there was my friends on the bridge acting like they had car trouble. What you're seeing is an optical illusion. You're seeing me do a motion.
This seems so...
Oh, it's thought out.
Dramatic. Just
I know.
It seems so much easier to be like, hey...
Go big or go... I'm 17, and
sweet Lord.
I'm 17, and I watched a David Blaine documentary. I think I could pull that shit off. So, I did it, the jumping motion, and just fell flat. The Belle Isle Bridge sort of looks, before they put up the guardrails, you can just kind of jump.
Yeah.
And I just, like, threw the hat. So, when she's rounding the corner, you're seeing this hat fall into an ocean. Or lake, or whatever river. Body of water.
Yeah.
But what you're not seeing, you're so focused on the hat, It's a sleight of hand. All you're doing is seeing me get in the trunk of the guy, not trunk, the backseat of the guys who had car trouble. And they're just hyping it up. The same friends who helped me audit the other chick. So, like,
some good friends.
There's some great friends. Mike, I know you listen. But anyway, like, they're just hyping it up. So I'm in the back seat, and they just put like a little cover. It just looks like a back seat. And they're like, this fucking dude just jumped. And it is hyping her up. And like, for two straight days, she's just crying and hysterical. She's called my mom. My mom sort of in on it, but didn't really know. She just crying, bitch, on the phone. Like, man, you call a cell phone, hung up on him. And then, like, 2 days later, I magically resurrected at Krispy Kreme. And, like, hey, I'm still alive.
Krispy Kreme is good.
Well, she worked there. I mean, like, I ordered a pack of fucking 12 and got the hell out of there. Order a dozen.
That's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous way. I love it. I love it.
Go big or go home.
Hearing it, I'm like, oh, man, I'm tired. That tires me out.
You got to do it, man, because here's the deal, what I wanted. I wanted the retroactive. I wanted to flip it. This is my mindset. I don't agree with this now, but the breakup starts anger and then sorrow and then, like, acceptance.
Oh, yeah. You got to go through that anger phase.
See, with her, I wanted it flipped. I wanted sorrow. I wanted, like, I'm such an egomaniac. I wanted to hear all the good things you will hear.
Yeah.
The only good things you will hear when someone dies. Yeah. So I wanted all of that. I wanted enough clouded with the other guy, which I was right. I was fucking right. Like, she was with the other guy, but I wanted my image to cloud this other guy.
Yeah.
And then when you come back, it's just anger. So, like, even your hate sex with me is like, I still got a little tattoo in there. I still got a little, yeah, you're thorough. He's getting laid like a champ, but it's totally because of me.
Yeah.
So someone,
thank you.
Yeah, someone's happy, but it was like, all right, whatever. I just did what I did.
That's really elaborate, man. Really,
man, elaborate. I had a lot of fucking free time as a kid.
You do. I just write the songs about it, but you really
got to do it. That's the difference. That's why I say I'm jealous, because I actually have to do this shit.
Oh, man.
And come back in a decade.
I thought it was bad doing the 45 minutes. You know,
no,
of getting that out.
No, you a lot of cardio. In mine. A lot of you dance? I had to fake jump off a bridge.
Oh, man. That's tight.
And then there's a element of don't fuck up.
But at least you got Krispy Kremes after. I don't get Krispy Kremes.
I bought it. I should have. Like, but there's still that thing when you're on the guardrail. Some days I do kind of, like, think about it.
Yeah.
Like, don't fuck up. Because if I slipped, I'm actually falling off the goddamn bridge. And I don't know if Mike is fast enough to get it.
And I heard that's a strong current.
I wasn't trying to find out. I still haven't found my fucking Jordan hat, so yeah.
It's gone, man. It ain't coming back.
Man, I had to go buy another hat, too.
This summer, you'll go back and you'll see it floating.
I want that, like, so bad.
There it is.
You don't know how bad I want that. You don't know how bad I just want now. I'm at Bel Air.
You should have planned ahead and be like, oh, I don't care about this hat.
No, I will give so much of a fuck if I'm at Bel Air and anyone just gives me an all black Jordan hat with the little jump man on it, all black and white one, I would probably cry at that moment, because that was the shit.
Yeah, you should have picked a hat, though, you didn't like.
Yeah, I was wearing it at the time. Look, it's all collateral damage. Like, you
but it's been over 10 years and we're still talking about this hat.
That's what makes it a hell of a story. Do you know how many fucking people she's probably still telling?
That's true. Yeah, no, that's not one you just... Oh, yeah, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that guy who cheated on me is nameless.
Yeah.
Oh, I know fucking Sam.
Yeah.
He did that. Like, the audit. Like, I had so many just fucked up breakups that just shouldn't be done. One I'm actually cool with. I call it the Valentine's Day Massacre.
Oh, that's... Good name.
Yeah, right. It was good. You know, Valentine's Day, we went out.
Perfect day to do it.
Perfect day to do it. And I was a heel. I kind of had that. You always listen to your gut. I'm not going to get super full into the story, because it's not as good as the other one. I can't beat that one.
It's hard to top that one.
But it was, we went out. It's the normal Valentine's Day date. And I kind of had this feeling that I was just the Valentine's Day guy.
Yeah.
And the real guy is going to show up on the fucking 15th. And so I just trust my gut. All the bears and candy and stuff like that, I just burned her in front of her and dated her friend on the 15th.
Nice.
That's not cheating because I broke up. Because I broke up on the 14th.
Now, some people may be like, oh, what a jerk. But it's not cheating.
It's not cheating.
Okay, so the paperwork.
The paperwork. Yes. A lawyer bought this one.
Checks out.
Like that morning, there was a text. Hey, you want to go out? Yeah. I heard what you did. Yeah.
But at that point, you can be like, I am technically not dating
anyone. I am still on, I am on the market.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
That's pretty impressive, man.
You got to keep living, man.
I tip my hat to you.
I am going to do more shit because I got like a kid now. Yeah. Like, I can't wait to teach him shit.
Oh, boy.
Because I'm now living through him. I am. Fuck me right now. We're talking about New Day Revolution.
We're talking about teaching your kid these lessons on how to fake his death. And
oh, man. Now with technology.
And burn teddy bears.
Like, it's ridiculously easier than you think. Like, it's ridiculously. Like, here's what you do. You just, like. And I look, girls can be swooned by the guy. Because you're the caveman. You're the blah, blah, blah. So she handed me all this stuff, and I had this feeling inside. You just see guys with that, the homeless dudes with the little, the fire in the gas, you know?
Yeah.
The fire in the fucking trash can. You just kind of, hey, you know that guy I seen you with the other day? I know you say he was just a friend, but, fire! And then you just burn it in front of her, like, what the fuck? And then, like, having some bums, like, you can. Here's what I take from this, and it does make me laugh, and this may make me a supervillain, but fuck it, it's funny. Funny is funny. I don't give a fuck who you are. You ever seen, like, a homeless man think about going into the fire to take those Russell Stovers? Like he can fucking salvage it. He was just kind of like, he flinched. He did kind of like, oh, shit.
Am I fast enough?
Am I fast enough to see the Russell Stovers burn in front of me?
Oh.
And I love Russell Stovers to this day because, like, that shit, it didn't melt, it didn't burn, but he did fucking flinch. He did flinch over a goddamn turtle where he was just kind of like, ah, fuck.
He had to think about it. That's a tough decision.
Is burns worth
Hershey's? Like, I could be burned, but I could get those. So it might be worth it.
So, that's a window in my mind. I am crazy, but I channel this here.
Yeah, So, well, that's good. We both have our ways to channel.
Yeah.
It. And you can channel it through your son now.
Yeah. Like, when you hear it on a podcast or you hear it on radio or whatever, it all just sounds like, well, you know he's just doing this for the radio. And uh-oh. I could just agree with him. Like, yes, I am. Bullshit. Bullshit. But you could do it via song?
Yeah, I can.
That's the hand wave.
We're coming back.
We're bringing it back to you.
Yeah, I do it through the song.
But that's why I say I'm a little jealous, man, because less cardio and less answer for. You could always say, like, oh, it's just a song.
That's true.
When you're looking at burnt Russell Stover's chocolates, it's kind of hard to.
Yeah, you're like, I really made it clear. I really got my point across. I can write and be like, oh, it's abstract.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But, so that's where we are, man.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
Man, I hate to say this. I know I dominated a lot of this.
It's all good, man. I felt like it was going back and forth.
But
Can't interrupt your story about you jumping off. Like, no, you did this. I need to hear about it.
Hopefully we get a New Day Revolution song out of it.
Hopefully.
If I hear a burnt chocolate on the next album, I'm like, I'm saying right now, I don't care if that has anything to do with me or not. I'm totally taking credit, and I'll tell you to your
face.
It's
going to be hard to throw that into a song, but, I mean, I will do my
best. I will do that.
Try to throw it in.
I will be in the crowd. He's talking about me.
I will do my. It's like I said. It's going to be difficult to throw that in, but I will find.
I will be that guy.
I will throw it in.
That walks up to your girl at the show. Oh, you don't have to worry about this one. He's talking about me. That's me.
Oh.
But one more time, I man, we're at an hour. It don't feel like it. It don't feel, dude.
Time, Dakota.
Like I said, you are totally welcome It don't necessarily have to be a New Day Revolution anything, but I had to do this when the new EP came out. Well, I felt obligated because of how many times we end up hanging with each other, but never on my mic.
It works now. I mean, we had the time, plus we have something to talk about, so...
Yeah.
You know, instead of being like, oh, we're looking for a drummer again. I'm tired of those talks. But yeah, so...
One more time. Your Facebook, whatever, plug away. This is all you, man. All
right. Saturday, December 5th at the Rockery in Wyandotte. 8 p.m. is doors. It is our EP release. We are releasing the record. It's called The American Dream is a Lie. Harlow will be there. Read 'em and Weep. It's only $5, and when you pay to get in, you get a free copy of the CD. Free CD. Three awesome bands, $5. And the Rockery has cheap drinks. They make them really strong, too. You get a rum and coke, it's like $4. Yes, they make it like a double. So you go with $20, you're going to have a good night. And, Facebook.com/New Day Revolution. And, December 5th, The American Dream is a Lie is coming out.
Man, I've said this in person, and I'm saying it on mic. Hold me. People who's listening, you can hold me to it. You guys, I got so much love for you. You guys, I've said it. It sounds corny, and I wrote it down so I could say it again on mic when I said it in person. You guys are the fucking defibrillator to Detroit rock.
Man.
I've said that, and I mean it. I put my stamp on it. My name on it. That's the big thing with this show. If you say it on this show, you better mean it. Put your name on it. And that's my stamp of approval.
I appreciate it, man. That means a lot. I'm glad people are digging it. I mean, we do it, to get our demons out and all that good stuff. But still, when you're on stage, you want people to cheer after. You want people to get into it. So I'm glad people are digging it. I'm glad you dig it. And saying we are the defibrillator of Detroit rock, that means a lot, man. There's so many bands around. And
look,
for someone to specifically think of us, that means
like I said,
more than you
guys... our defibrillator, because you guys got a lot of kids out there, but at the same time, there's so it rock for some of my love. It's a dying genre.
It is, and it scares the hell out of me.
And it's going elsewhere. It's splitting off into different things. You guys are like lassoing it back. Like let's get down back to basics.
We grab people by the nuts.
Yeah,
and we squeeze and we squeeze hard. Squeeze those nuts.
I'm in it on that. Fuck that. All right, guys.
Yeah.
Rattlesnake by New Day Revolution. Man, I want to thank Dakota Star for dropping by. He some helpful hints. Follow those guys on Facebook/New Day Revolution. Look, man, get yourself December 5th. Get yourself to the Rockery in Wyandotte, Michigan. It's a great outing. Only cost you $5. Who are we kidding? You're going to waste $5 on some meaningless something that you're going to buy. Why not see a great show, great front man, great bands who's also there? Go ahead. Go to the EP release party at the Rockery in Wyandotte. You can see my man dance firsthand from New Day Revolution. All right. That's pretty much what I got right now. It was a great podcast. He's always welcome back. I don't know how to end this. I really don't. I had so much fun. I really don't know how to end this. So what I'm going to do, I'll throw out all our social media information. You can always find the podcast. All things related to the podcast can be found at samshownation.com. You can also visit me personally on Twitter at samshow11 on the tweets. Visit the show, Facebook/JustTalkingWithSam, Instagram/JustTalkingWithSam. And that's pretty much what I got, man. We talked about this in the podcast, so I'm going to end it. It will be great to end this podcast with this song. We talked about it. You can hear it firsthand. It's on a new EP. It's Demon and You by New Day Revolution. And then from there, I will see you guys next week. Peace out, guys.